Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcasts?
Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 21, can you believe it? And I am your host, Emily Chadbourne. And we're going to start out today with a little shout out to my youngest niece, Bea, who turned 7 yesterday. Bea, thank you for teaching me the true meaning of the word sassy. I thought I had some sass. And then as I've watched you grow into the beautiful, wonderful, charismatic, funny, bold little human that you are, I have been taught the real meaning of the word sass. What a little legend. I hope you enjoyed your day, darling. Not that she's listening to this podcast, because I say the word fuck way too much for children to be listening in. So the last couple of weeks, I've been obsessing over a podcast called Where Should We Begin by Esther Perel. So if you've not come across Esther Perel yet, I highly suggest that once you've finished listening to this podcast, you go ahead and Google stalk her. She's done a TED talk that was really good, but she's actually got way more content out there that I vibed with a little bit more than her 20-minute TED talk and her podcast being one of those pieces of content. So where should we begin? Esther Perel is a relationship coach, I'm going to call her, although that definition might not be spot on. She talks a lot about sex and intimacy, and she talks about how the sort of notion that we have that sex should be easy and it should be something that, you know, until the end of our relationship, we just find ourselves naturally wanting to be intimate with our partner. And actually, like any other component of a relationship, it takes work and it takes concentration and it takes communication. And because of the taboos around sex and the social conditioning that we have around intimacy, it can be a real sticky point for a lot of couples. So she works in that area. And just the way that she normalizes intimacy and sex, and the way that she talks about relationships, and is very vulnerable herself when she talks about romantic relationships. I resonate with her so much. I think she's a fucking legend. She's also got a banging accent, which I'm a massive fan of. So I do highly suggest that you go and check her out. Esther Perel, Where Should We Begin? Her podcast series is basically live coaching conversations that she has, one-off coaching sessions that she has with couples who are experiencing various issues in their relationship. And like, not every episode is relevant necessarily, but every episode is really interesting. And even if it doesn't feel relevant in the moment, I've quite often like found myself reflecting on it a few days later and been like, oh, hang on a minute, that really does translate into my relationship, or into my past relationships. Even sometimes it's quite useful to be able to have a framework to look back and be like, oh, I see how that was playing out in a relationship that I was in a few years ago, or even in the current relationship that you're in. And so it was no surprise to me that when I put a shout out into That Crazy Thing Called Life, which is my free Facebook group, I go live, do live videos in there, sometimes up to 5 times a week, Monday through to Friday, sometimes a little bit less, depending on my energy, depending on what I feel like I've got to say, and depending on the questions that I get asked from that group. But it's completely free to join. The only thing that I ask is that if you're a knobhead, don't request to join. So it is a twat-free zone. But I put a shout out into that group earlier this week saying, you know, does anyone have any particular topics that you would like me to cover in the podcast this week, in the Unashamedly Human podcast. And so it was no real surprise to me that the question that really popped and kind of stood out for me that came in was about relationships. So this is the question that we are going to be unpacking today. Hi, Em. I know you're in a wonderful committed relationship these days, and for some time prior, you were deeply committed to yourself. What surprising truths did you discover about partnering with someone when you're already full in your relationship to self? So what surprising truths did you discover about partnering with someone when you're already full in your relationship to self? This was such a great question. And I really did. What I love about this question is that I really had to sit and reflect on it. And in the reflection of it, I actually uncovered some stuff that maybe I wasn't really conscious of. And that can only really be a great thing, because when you're consciously aware of what is going on in your head, in your heart, in your soul, in your relationship, in your results, then you can change it, or you can work out what it is that created that result. If it's a result that you really, really want and that you love, and then you can do more of that. You can make sure that the conditions around that can be reproduced so that you can have more of it. And if you don't like the results you're getting, then you get the opportunity to change it. So for me personally, this was a rocking question, and I will endeavor to do my very best to answer it from a place of authenticity without, I can only answer this question from my framework, from my perspective, from my point of view, from my experience, and from my current relationship. I cannot speak for my partner. I cannot speak for anybody else who's in a committed relationship. This is purely me unpacking the relationship I'm currently in from my point of view. So I'm going to start with this idea of being deeply committed, being in a deeply committed relationship to self. And I want to unpack what that means for me a little bit, because whether you're single or in a relationship, I think being in a deeply committed relationship to self has got to be the most important relationship you're in. It's got to be more important than the relationship that you have with your children, even. It has to be more important than the relationship you have with your partner, with your work colleagues, with your friends. The most important relationship that you will ever be in, it's the relationship you're born into in this human incarnation, and it is the relationship that you will die with. It's a relationship you can't divorce. It is the relationship that you can't run away from. You can't take time out from it. You can't get a babysitter for it. You have got to be in a fucking solid relationship to yourself. And if you're not, and I've spent most of my life not being in a great relationship with myself. It's only been in the last 3 to 4 years I've really begun to put the time and the effort and the energy and the time and the money into building this really great relationship with myself mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And now I get to teach that to my clients through my Next Level Results program and a couple of other programs that I'm going to be developing over the coming months. If you are not in that relationship, then the other relationships that you have in your life, the relationship you have with your children, the relationship you have with your partner, the relationship you have with your finances, the relationship you have with your clients or with your colleagues or with your friends, with your health, those relationships cannot be sustainably resourceful. You can get by in them, but they cannot be sustainably resourceful, because if you are projecting your needs, or if you're looking for your needs to be fulfilled by another person, then the pressure that you are putting on that other soul is unfair. And I have never seen an instance where it has ended good. Well, it has ended well. It has ended good. What was that, England? I was speaking there. So, yeah, I can't hammer that home enough, being in a deeply committed relationship to self. So, what does this mean, especially in the context of dating and relationships? So for me, that means being the person that you want to date. For a really long time, at the very beginning of my coaching career, I worked exclusively with single women. And the thing that I always started off with was I would ask them to write out a list of all of the things that they wanted from a partner. So their financial status, their physical health, their social interactions, how they rocked up, the confidence they rocked up with, their self-worth. And I would just ask them to list that all out. And then what I would get them to do, and this is a great exercise, whether you're single or not, actually, even if you're in a relationship, this will be really, really useful for you to do. And it might uncover some gaps that you previously hadn't had conscious awareness of. Then what you do is you go down that list and you grade yourself out of 10 for where you are in that area. So, for example, if you've got on your list of an ideal relationship or an ideal partner, you know, that they have, that they're financially savvy, that they've got their financial affairs in order, and that they've got an entrepreneurial mindset, so that they are in a space where they want to heavily invest, where they want to have multiple income streams, they're responsible with their money, but then they're not tight with money, you know, and you can get quite detailed about exactly how you want your partner to be in that particular energy. Again, you can do it with health. You know, are they physically fit? Do they look after their body? Do they care about what they eat? Do they go to the gym regularly? And then you have to have a real honest fucking chat with yourself and say, well, where am I in that? Because the universe meets you where you are at. That is just universal law. What you are, you will attract. And so if you are not looking after your own health, if your finances are fucked, if you're too scared to go and make that entrepreneurial jump into doing something different so that you can have an uncapped income, and yet you're expecting this from your partner, like whether you're in a relationship or want to be in a relationship, then you are asking a square to fit into a peg hole round one, whatever that thing is, the square peg round hole thing, i.e. you're asking the universe to provide a mismatch to where you currently are. And so for me, being in a committed relationship was about leveling the fuck up to become the person that I wanted to attract. That meant sorting out my finances and the relationship I had with finances. That meant taking charge of my finances, knowing what my numbers were, knowing how I was going to make more money, clearing up my energetic vibration around money, and like taking real fucking responsibility for it, because the person that I wanted to attract was going to have a solid relationship with money. And I couldn't expect that from somebody else if I wasn't delivering it myself. The other thing that that really sort of brought forth for me was the physical relationship with myself. You know, I want to have my current partner, Andy, he looks after his physique and he does like climbing and stuff. So he's got a really good body. And that was on my list of things that I wanted from my partner. I wanted somebody who was healthy and somebody who was active, and that showed physically in their physique. So I have to be that too. And I'm not in, I don't go to the gym so that I can be attractive to other people or to my boyfriend or to a potential partner. I go to the gym because I know that I need to be in that relationship with myself so that I can create a sustainable relationship outside of self. But I go for me. I go because I want to be able to look in the mirror and be like, yes, I see somebody who is strong. I see somebody who's committed. I see somebody who rocks up and does the work. And I love that about me. And when I can love that about me, then other people can love it about me, whether that's romantic or platonic. But if I stand in the mirror and I look at myself and I think, actually, what I see is somebody who doesn't rock up and do the work, who says they're going to go to the gym and then never does, who, you know, abuses their body through excessive alcohol consumption, excessive food consumption, or starves themselves of food or whatever it is. Like, I'm 38 now and I'm definitely not in my peak. If I was to be graded by a fucking magazine, I've definitely looked thinner in my life because I'm 38 and I'm not 24 anymore. But I look in the mirror and I really love what I see back, because I see strength. I see somebody who's committed. I see somebody who values her physical vessel. And for many years, I didn't do that. So I have to be in that committed relationship with my physical self. And the reaction that the universe gave me to that was delivering me somebody who's of the same vibrational frequency, of the same mindset, of the same caliber, I guess, is a word that sounds a bit weird. I'm not sure why I use that word, but it came out of my mouth and I can't take it back. So my financial relationship, I had to really clear that up. My relationship around my physical body, I had to really commit to that. The next for me about being in this sort of deeply committed relationship to self was healing from past relationships. I see a lot of people who jump from relationship to relationship, and I'm not judging that. I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do life. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. But I do see a lot of people who move from one relationship to a different relationship to the next relationship to the next relationship, and none of those relationships are different. They're the same fucking relationship. They're just with a different physical body. And I think when it comes, one of the meanest things that you can do to yourself or to another person is to take your experience from a past relationship and project it into your future one. Now, let me be really fucking clear. Of course, the relationships that we have had in our past will massively influence how we are rocking up today. But you have more control over the lessons that you learn and the healing that gets done around past relationships than you probably give yourself credit for. So for me, really making sure as part of this committed relationship I'm in with self that I've really healed from past relationships, it was a really important step for me. And knowing that I was sort of truly concluded with the relationship my previous relationship with my ex, which, you know, had a lot of sort of trauma around the way that it finished. I didn't want to harp on about my ex relationship, but now I can speak about it without any emotional trigger. I know that I'm healed from it. So, you know, the cold hard facts are I was in a relationship with somebody. It wasn't particularly long, but it was very intense. And it concluded really shortly after my mum died, and there was a third party involved that happened to be my friend, and so it was a really sort of low point in my life, which now I look back on and I'm just exceptionally grateful. I'm grateful to my ex for having the balls to leave. Was the way it happened, I don't have to forgive that, but I can genuinely sit in full forgiveness to the soul of my ex. That doesn't necessarily mean condoning the human behavior that came along with it. And so I think, yeah, finding yourself in a place where you are truly at peace with your past relationships is really important to be in a committed relationship with yourself, and to be prepared to go into your next relationship without dragging all that fucking baggage. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, it's not my fault, you know, that I'm a little bit suspicious of him, my ex cheated on me. Man, go and fucking sort your fucking shit out. You can't just drag that along as an excuse. You have to be in a place where you are in such a deep, committed, trusting relationship with yourself that you are willing to be truly open and truly trustful and truly vulnerable and truly present for your next relationship. Otherwise, you're just doing yourself a disservice. And to be completely honest, you are probably going to self-fulfill it. You're going to be in a self-fulfilling prophecy in your new relationship anyway. And that's when you hear people be like, well, all men are assholes. Every boyfriend I've had has cheated on me. And you're like, well, maybe that's not because all men are cheaters. Maybe that's something to do with the way that your energy is rocking up, the way that your vibrational frequency is sitting. And so that is what I mean by being in a really fucking committed relationship with self. You've got to clear your shit up. And if you're like, how do I clear my shit up, Em? Go and find a coach. Fucking email me. I might not be the right coach for you, and that's cool. Like, I have a bank of other coaches and practitioners who I know, love, and trust that I often refer people onto if I'm not the right coach for you or I can't help you with the specific problem that you have. But, you know, fucking reach out, get in touch. Start asking, you know, other people who've cleared up their shit, okay, how did you do it? You can't just sort of sit there and be like, well, I don't know how to do that, so I'm just gonna forge forward with this, you know, continued strategy, and then be surprised when yet again I find myself in a relationship that feels, sounds, and looks just like all the other ones I've had. The next thing I think I wanted to say about deeply committed relationships to myself. So I cleared up my financial shit. I cleared up my physical shit. I healed from my past relationship and took the time and the energy and really went through all of the feels around that to be able to get to a place where I'm not emotionally triggered by it at all now. Then the fourth thing I wanted to say was, this is really important. You've got to find yourself spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally prepared to learn fresh lessons. So once you've healed from your past relationships, once you've cleared up those vibrational frequencies, you've got to find yourself in a place where you're ready to do it all again and to learn new lessons. So this was highlighted to me a few months ago. I went to see this chick called Brianna. If you're in Melbourne, you should go and see her. She's got a practice in Paran. She like does massage and Chinese medicine and cupping, and she's just fucking an all-round bloody legend with hands of magic. I don't think I've ever said that about anyone before. Hands of magic. You are welcome. Anyway, I'll link her in the show notes because she's just a ledge. And she and I were talking about, while I was single, talking about, you know, me preparing myself to attract another relationship. And I turned around to her and I said, oh, you know, one of my massive lessons from my past relationship was comparison, how much I compare myself to other people and how detrimental that can be. And I sort of said, you know, I need to clear that up before the next relationship comes along. And she said something that was so simply profound that I just kissed her. She said, yeah, but you can't clear that up until the next relationship comes along. There are some things that you can't learn by thought alone. You actually have to experience it. So now you've got conscious awareness that one of your things is comparison and feeling like you're in the comparison or competition with a partner. That is enough for you to be able to deal with it when the next relationship does come along and that gets triggered in you. But you can't deal with it until the next relationship comes along and it gets triggered in you. You can have conscious awareness of it, which puts you a massive step ahead of where you were before your ex-partner, but ultimately some things can only be worked through with experience and actualizing it. And so that's what I mean by like, be really ready to learn fresh lessons. And to do this, you are going to have a good framework. You have got to have emotional resilience. You have got to know yourself, because otherwise those lessons will come. And if you don't have a decent framework, then you'll just be like a fucking, oh, here's this thing again. It's like, okay, here is my challenge. I knew this was coming. Here is my trigger. I had conscious awareness of it. I have a good framework in place. I have the emotional resilience to deal with it. I am spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically in charge of my being. And I've got this. It might not feel great to be triggered, but I've fucking got this. And, you know, luckily, my full-time job is to look after my mental health, my spiritual health, my emotional health, and my physical health. That is my full-time job. My vocation, the way that I generate income so that I can have more experiences, so that I can contribute more to the world around me, the more that I contribute, the more money I can earn, that is as a mindset coach. And I teach other people how to have mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, not so much physical. I'll be really, really honest. Like, I'm not a physical coach necessarily, but I'm a huge believer in giving people the mindset so that they can love the body that they have, so that they are more inclined to want to exercise it, to want to feed it well, to want to treat it with respect. That is now what I teach other women. But I put that, my full-time job is me. And then my vocation is to teach other women what I do myself. So, you know, having that framework and having that emotional resilience, having that conscious awareness, having that insight, having the strategies through meditation, through journaling, through asking really powerful questions, through visualization, some NLP techniques, through really learning how to tap into my emotional body, which quite often has more wisdom than my thinking brain does, because my thinking brain is always going to be heavily influenced by its social conditioning. through my paradigms, through my belief system. My emotional body doesn't give a fuck about any of that stuff. It doesn't have any of that stuff attached to it. It's just intrinsic, and learning how to tap into that means that I have this framework to be able to have the vulnerability and the courage to learn fresh lessons in a new relationship, and to be open to learning them and clearing some shit up along the way. And then the fifth thing, in terms of being in a deeply committed relationship with myself, is to be okay with being alone. And this was a massive one. So it would have been about the end of February of this year. So currently recording this in 2019. End of February 2019, I woke up one day with a sort of... my dog is snoring in the background. I don't know if you can hear it, but if you can, it's the cutest fucking thing. All right, Theodore. Yeah, fast asleep. So I woke up in February 2019, and I just, for the first time in my life ever, I had began to feel really lonely. And I'm a very sociable person. I have lots of friends. They all live within sort of a 10-minute radius of me. I have friends all over the globe as well I'm in contact with regularly. But so it wasn't about being alone. Loneliness and being alone are two different things. You can feel lonely and be in a really fucking crowded room of people that you love. It was that kind of loneliness. It went further than other people. And all sorts of stuff came up for me. I was approaching my 38th birthday, and I've never had an issue with my age ever, never bothered me. And all of a sudden, the age didn't bother me so much, the number of 38 didn't bother me so much, but I suddenly began to feel quite anxious, is the word, only word I can use to describe it, about time passing. So that was a really interesting and a new kind of thing for me. And throughout the whole of March and April, into May, I was sitting with this feeling of loneliness. It brought up quite a lot of grief stuff. My mum died a couple of years ago, and there was quite a lot of loneliness that was attached to grief and the absence of her human being or human incarnation on the planet. So I kind of worked through quite a lot of that, but this feeling of loneliness, it didn't go away, and it was getting so uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do with it, and I began worrying about it. And then the real problem stopped being the loneliness, and the problem started being the worry that I had about the loneliness, if that makes sense. And I see this often, you know, the problem isn't that you feel fear, the problem is that you're worried about feeling the fear. The problem isn't that you are being rejected, the problem is that you're worried about being rejected. And this was definitely the case for me. The worry and the angst that I was feeling about the loneliness was worse than feeling the loneliness. And it wasn't until, it was really early May, I remember, it wasn't until early May that one day I just went, oh my God, I can't worry about being lonely anymore. I just have to surrender to it. I have to stop the energy that is going into worrying about being lonely, about feeling lonely, and I'm just gonna fucking feel lonely. I was just like, fuck it, this has been two fucking months, I don't give a shit anymore, I'm just gonna feel fucking lonely, I'm gonna stop resisting it. And you can't teach that, because you can't do that until you're at the peak of it, and you can't bypass it, you can't numb it, or you can, but then you will never get to the other side of it. And it was in that moment, and it wasn't like an overnight, it wasn't an instant thing, but it was that kind of like release of like, okay, I'm just gonna be lonely. I've just surrendered to it. It's not giving up. It's not giving up the core emotion, not giving up the loneliness, it's giving up the resistance to the loneliness. Because the pain is in the resistance every fucking time. The pain is in the resistance. And so I just gave that up, because I genuinely didn't have any more energy for it. It'd all been gone. It had all been sapped. And then slowly but surely, over the course of about 2 weeks, I felt sort of incrementally more connected. And again, this isn't about external connection. It was all internal. I began to feel like the fog was lifting slightly. And then a week after that, bam, I met my partner. So I don't know how that's going to be interpreted. I don't know if it even makes any sense to you. But I think part of being in that deeply committed relationship to myself was being okay with the loneliness of being alone. And it was like the moment I heard the loneliness, the moment I dropped the resistance to it, the moment I was like, all right, I genuinely have to be okay in my own fucking soul. That has to be enough for me. It has to be enough. And only when that is enough can I attract a resourceful relationship. And again, I wish I could teach, I wish I could bottle that, but I can't, because you almost need to get to, I liken it to like the analogy of being in labor. You have to get to the crescendo of the like, holy fuck, I can't do this anymore, before you can birth something new. So I'm just going to run through those five things again. I've just realized I've been talking for ages. So for me, being in a deeply committed relationship myself was about being the person I wanted to date. So that meant taking charge of my finances, taking charge of my physical relationship, and, you know, all of the other things that I wanted from a partner. You know, I had to become those things more and more myself. And I had to really sit down with that list all the things I wanted from my partner, and then upgrade myself 1 to 10. Am I those things? And if I'm not, I need to clear that the fuck up. Healing from past relationships, massive one, so that I'm not taking that old energy into a new relationship. Being really ready to learn fresh lessons, so having a really good framework around my mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical health, so that I can be open and vulnerable to learn the new lessons, and then to be really okay with being alone. And I really feel like that kind of paradigm shift with loneliness, that new relationship that I forged with loneliness when I stopped resisting it, was like, the timing is too spot on for it not to be a thing. So now I'm going to talk about the surprising truths. I've got three surprising truths that I want to talk about when it comes to being in this new relationship, and it is still relatively new. But before I do that, I have to say a couple of things. The first is, as a 38-year-old woman, right now, and this might change, but right now I am making the conscious decision not to have children. I might do a whole podcast episode on that, because I think it's going to be really relevant for a lot of people. But, you know, I've really thought about it, and I often grieve for that decision, because, you know, the yin and yang of life means that as much as I can be sure that I don't want to have children right now, I'm also very aware of what I'm giving up by not being a mother and never being able to have that experience. So I get to grieve that, but I can still be committed to my decision, or not even committed to my decision, it's still my decision. So I think that puts me in a sort of slightly unique position. You know, I'm not looking for a partner to have children with. That changes the fucking game. Would I have felt a different level of need for a relationship if I wanted to have children? Fuck yes. Would my criteria, the pressure, the expectation of a new relationship be completely different if, as a 38-year-old woman, I wanted to have a family? Fuck yes. Can't deny that. So I can't talk from a space of somebody who wants to settle down and not even settle down, wants to have a family. I can only talk from being a 38-year-old woman who has made the decision at the moment, and that might change, you know, my ovaries might start doing something and talking to me, but right now they're fucking quiet as shit. Right now, you know, I don't. So the other thing that I think is really important for me to say here is that I don't believe in marriage. Now, let me be clear. What I do believe in is wearing a massive fucking dress, having a big fat diamond on my hand, and being the center of attention at a party that is thrown for me. Absolutely believe wholeheartedly in those things. But I don't believe that anything is meant to last forever. I believe that if you are doing humaning right, then you are evolving and you're growing and you're changing and you're experiencing new things and you're meeting new people and you're changing your beliefs and you're shifting your paradigms and you're leveling the fuck up. And if you are lucky, you will find somebody who is willing to do that with you. But not everybody changes in the same way. Not everybody evolves at the same time. Not everybody is willing to move through the uncomfortability of shifting through paradigms. And that is okay. And so, because what I do know to be true, and I just see this in, like, it's not being hidden from anybody, nothing is permanent. I'm not permanent, you're not permanent. The series of fucking mad, desperate, fucked up housewives or whatever you're watching on TV at the moment, it's not fucking permanent, thank fuck. Nothing is permanent, and I don't believe that relationships are permanent. Well, they're not permanent because of death, right? Even if you marry someone and you end up on your deathbed still being married to them, like, that relationship is still concluding via death. So nothing is permanent. So I do not believe that I can stand up and say the words, I promise to love you until I die, to another human being, because I can't make that promise. And I shouldn't have to make that promise. I can promise to try. I can promise to commit to making the decision to love you every day. I can promise to give it a red hot fucking go. But I cannot promise to love you until I die. So I don't believe in marriage. So my framework around a relationship is not necessarily a conventional one. When I approach relationships, I think, do I love the version of you that you are now? Do we have common goals, common values? Does it feel good? But I'm not looking for a partner who I'm going to have children with. And I think that puts a different need for a relationship to last longer. That's just not my criteria. So I have to say that because that heavily influences how I am going to talk about this relationship. So, surprising truths. So the first one is that I got what I asked for, but it didn't come in the way that I thought it would. So being in this sort of committed relationship with myself, and being the sort of person that I would want to be in a relationship with, I absolutely got delivered somebody who matches where I'm at. And I think what I wasn't expecting, so I think the fundamental difference between me and my partner Andy is, I mean, there's lots of differences actually, but I'm a very deeply spiritual person. I truly believe in God. I don't believe in religion. I guess a working hypothesis, the closest working hypothesis I could come to would be Buddhism, but I don't have a religion. I do believe in a universal energy that is beyond our human understanding. And I believe that that is God, and I believe it connects us all. I believe that I am God. I believe that you are God. I believe that the universal energy of love is God. And so I connect to that through meditation and through prayer and through various spiritual practices. I do a lot of Kundalini yoga, and that is my framework. That is my understanding for self. And Andy is a complete atheist. He believes what he can see and experience. And yet the way he interprets life is so similar to me, and it doesn't sound like the two can coexist, but they really can. His context is just completely different. So when I started thinking about who I wanted to attract into my life in terms of a partner, one of those qualities was I want it to be somebody, you know, I want to be able to have these amazing personal development chats with them, and I want to be able to talk about God with them, and all of those things have come true. It's just that what I was not given was an echo chamber. I haven't just been given somebody who's like, yeah, I agree with you, yeah, I agree with you, yeah, I agree with you, yeah, I agree with you. I've been given somebody who challenges me to think differently and to be able, and we have these amazing discussions about what we consider to be truth and what we consider to be inexplicable. And we don't always agree on it, but it's never confrontational. It's always like how awesome that we have different opinions and yet they're so aligned in lots of ways. It's just we contextualize life so differently. So, you know, I really did. I got everything that I asked for from the universe, but it just rocked up in such a different package with such a different context to it and in such a different way. And, you know, I think when you are so, what's the word? So, but when you box yourself in with what it is that you think you want, it can be really easy to disregard what you actually need. And so, you know, me of probably 2 or 3 years ago would have disregarded Andy because he didn't exactly meet my criteria in the way that I thought it would be met. But actually having that more, because I'm in such a fucking great relationship with myself, I'm in a much more kind of fluid place of like, I find you really interesting, let's hang out together. Not, are we going to partner up forever for life? This is it. Are we going to have 3 kids together? It's just like, wow, actually, that's a really interesting, hey, I'm really enjoying your energy. Let's hang out again. Let's hang out again. Let's hang out again. And that's how our relationship evolved into a committed relationship that it's in now. But, you know, old me probably wouldn't have given it much of a chance because I'd have been like, nope, that's not exactly the way that my criteria is going. And I would have denied myself something really, really special. So I think that's been one of my surprising truths. On that, I'm also going to say, like, my last relationship was with a woman. So, you know, that was a real massive shock for me. That's a whole podcast episode in itself as well. That was a huge shock for me. And again, like, talking about cutting yourself off because your paradigm, your belief system, your expectation is so, you know, set in a certain way, we can so often deny ourselves really valuable, life-changing, lesson-giving, leveling up experiences because we shut them down before they have chance to deliver any value. Anyway, that's just a little aside. So the second surprising truth was, it goes back to, you know, being ready to learn fresh lessons. It doesn't matter how ready you are to learn fresh lessons. It doesn't matter how deeply committed you are in the relationship to yourself and how your, you know, tight your framework is around your mental, spiritual, physical and emotional health. The reality is that those lessons, they fucking suck balls, man. Being triggered sucks balls. And however committed my relationship is with self, it still sucks to be triggered. It still sucks to have those old behaviors that maybe you thought that you had kind of dealt with in your own relationship. You know, it's so easy for me to, so let me start that sentence again. My go-to strategy in life in general tends to be victimhood. I love a bit of martyrdom. Oh man, I'm like the queen of it. And it ruled my life for many, many, many years. And my results were really fucking awful as a result of that martyrdom strategy. And it has been something that I continuously work on. When I'm just in a relationship with myself, it's really easy for me to take full responsibility for myself and much easier for me to notice my martyrdom, notice my victimhood and change it. And I think one of the things that I see people get really caught up in is like they feel like once they've brought conscious awareness to a certain strategy that it should disappear. It never disappears. You just get better at managing it. So the old strategy doesn't go away. You just get better at, with your second thought, the first thought you can't always control, but with your second thought, shifting strategies. So my first thought is still martyrdom. It's still victimhood. It's still no. But my second thought is, grow the fuck up, Emily. Life isn't fair. Come on, what are we going to do about this, big girl pants on? So that is just, I see that a lot. I think people expect old strategies to disappear. They don't. You just get better at managing them. But when you are being, or I have found my personal experience when I've been triggered by stuff in my relationship with Andy, I have found that that is actually harder to do. It's much easier for me to, or it's much harder for me to pull myself out that strategy when I'm in being triggered by something that's happened in our relationship. So that's been a real surprising truth for me, because I just thought I had that kind of under control. And when I talk about under control, I don't mean it had disappeared. I just mean that I was managing it, and I found it harder to manage in my relationship with Andy. Not impossible, but harder. And it is, it's just like, okay, well, it's a bit like going through the computer levels on a computer game. You know, you do level one, it's hard, you die a few times and then you get the hang of it. And then you go to level two and like you die a few times and you get the hang of it. And then you go to level three, but and you die on level three and you have to go back to level one. You breathe level one, you breathe level two, and level three is hard again. And that's all leveling up is. So level one doesn't go away. You still have to go through level one. The next time you die in level three or level four or level five or level six, it's just that, you know, that's what leveling up means for me. So it's just my next level of having to deal with a strategy that I learned from birth through the family context that I was born into, the family conditioning that I had. I learned how to be a victim. I learned it really well. It was ingrained in my psyche and my behavior and my strategy. And, you know, it would be ridiculous to think that, you know, 34 years of having that unconsciously, then bringing some conscious awareness to it, is just going to shift overnight. Like, it's going to be something that I work with for the rest of my life. So I'm just in a new level of having to work with it now. So it's taking a bit more effort. And then the third thing is that there are so many fine lines, and it's okay to get those wrong sometimes. You just have to have really clear, vulnerable, open communication when you do get it wrong. So what I mean by this is there's a massive difference between like falling in love with the potential that somebody has and then giving somebody, which is never a good idea. But at the same time, you've also got to give somebody and yourself room to meet their potential. And, you know, that's a constant calibration. Another example that I thought of this was like boundaries and compromise. So I have very strong boundaries, but, you know, sometimes they can be unresourcefully strong. And I'm not always very good at compromising because, you know, I am who I am. And so, you know, it's learning to compromise, but not to overcompromise, and then, you know, have those boundaries collapse. And it's really easy to forget your relationship with self sometimes in those fine lines. It's like I always have to keep coming back to, you know, am I doing this for the relationship or am I doing it for me? And I need to be doing it for both in order for it to be resourceful. Because if I'm just doing it for me, then I'm probably making a selfish move. And if I'm just doing it for the relationship, then my boundaries aren't tough enough. Or I'm overly compromising for the relationship, and neither of those is sustainable. That's not going to create a sustainable long-term relationship with Andy. So I need to find a place. I need to find that fine line, and it's so fucking fine, between making sure that my relationship with self and my relationship with this relationship and Andy's relationship with self and Andy's relationship with the relationship are all looked after. And that takes effort, and it takes practice, and it takes fucking it up. Admitting when we fucked it up, acknowledging it, unpacking why, without overanalyzing. So those are the sort of three massive surprising truths that came my way in this relationship that I'm currently in. I actually did get what I asked for, but it came in a way that I wasn't expecting. I can always be ready to learn my new fresh set of lessons, but being triggered will still suck balls. Leveling up, you know, going through those sort of computer levels. And it can be really easy to be like, oh, why am I going through this again? Why am I still dealing with my victimhood? Because you are, and that's just the way it's going to be. You just get over it. And then the third one is, you know, really understanding that so much of this is about fine lines and not always getting it right. Sometimes we push too far, sometimes we don't give enough, sometimes we give too much, sometimes, you know, we rely too much on the potential that we see, sometimes we don't give enough room for that potential to grow, sometimes we're overly compromising, sometimes we don't compromise enough. And it's so easy to forget that relationship with self. It's so easy to give yourself over to the couple relationship and not to stay firm in the relationship that you have with self, because ultimately that is the relationship that Andy fell in love with. Andy didn't fall in love with our relationship. Andy fell in love with the relationship I have with myself. And so in order for the relationship with Andy to continue, I have to maintain that love affair with me. And vice versa, the same works for him. I fell in love with the version of Andy who was solid in himself. And so for me to expect him to give that up to our relationship means that I'm asking him to give up the thing that I fell in love with in the first place. So that's where I'm at. I trust that that has been useful. Please, 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 as always, this is so much more valuable for you guys if it is a conversation and not a monologue. I think I stole that line from Lisa Nichols, full disclosure. And also it's really valuable for me to know how to continue producing content that's relevant for you if you talk to me. So let me know, what did you think of this podcast? Email me. info@emilychadbourne.com. You can DM me on Instagram, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. You can PM me through Facebook, join the Facebook group, start the conversation there, That Crazy Thing Called Life. And please make sure that you're sharing this podcast. If you've got a friend who you think might benefit from listening to it, let me know. If you've got a topic you want me to cover on this podcast, then just email me, info@emilychadbourne.com. Use the hashtag unashamedlyhuman. Head to iTunes, rate and review it, because it really helps other people find this content and use it too. All right, my lovely people. You're a bunch of fucking legends. Don't forget it. Thank you very much for listening.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.